Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hello, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, the Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation. Welcome to this NAMM Foundation webinar and the launch of Virtual Choir 6 with composer, conductor, artist Eric Whitaker and our friends at Make Music Day. And I'd like to welcome first Shalise Salisi, my co-host. Hi, Shalise.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good. Shalise is our Director of Public Relations and Social Media at NAMM and also is overseeing our Make Music Day collaboration around the world, along with so many other things. And Aaron Friedman, who's the impresario of the Make Music Day experience. Hi, Aaron. Welcome. We'll be hearing from you a bit later. And we'd like to just jump to Eric Whitaker. Hi, Eric Whitaker.
Hi, Mary. It's great to see you again.
There you are. And where are you, in California?
In Los Angeles. That's right.
We know Shalise is at our headquarters there in Carlsbad. Aaron's in New York, and I'm just north of New York. And a special thanks to our great Crackerjack NAMM production team for putting this webinar together. And we welcome all of you. It was so fun to watch our chat box fill up from people from literally all over the world, Malaysia and South Africa and New Zealand. And what a great gathering we can have this afternoon or wherever you are in the world to celebrate the launch of Virtual Choir 6. So, Eric Whitaker, you did it again.
Thanks, Mary. I don't know if we haven't done it yet.
I know. You're doing it again.
Yeah, this is the fun part.
Yeah. Well, for those of you, your fan base is gathered here, also via live stream at NAMMFoundation.org. Let your friends know that we're gathered here with friends and fans of Eric Whitaker. As many of you know, Eric is an award-winning composer and conductor. He's united singers all over the world with his virtual choir experiences. He's a Juilliard School of Music graduate and artist in residence at Los Angeles Master Chorale. He's a composer in residence at the University of Cambridge, UK. He's been a conductor of many esteemed international orchestras and choirs. And one of his most recent projects was a deep field composition that was done with a wonderful videography from the Hubble spacecraft in collaboration with NASA. So he's one of those out of this world composers working today, right? We want to go where you are, Eric. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So tell us about the virtual choir and why is this something that you have compelled? This is number 6.
That's
why
right.
You felt compelled to have this as part of your project as a composer and creator.
Well, thank you again, Mary, for having me. And hello, everyone. It's an honor to be here. You mentioned the Deep Field virtual choir that was made in collaboration with the Space Telescope Science Institute and people from NASA. And it was all about, this was Virtual Choir 5. It was all about this image taken by the Hubble telescope, the Deep Field image. It was a massive undertaking. It's a huge piece. It's orchestra and chorus. And I think there were 8,500 singers from 120 countries represented. And I think when we finished it, myself, I say we and Claire Long and Meg Davies, who are the executive directors and producers of the virtual choir, there was this feeling like, all right, I think we've reached the limits of what the virtual choir can do and what we want to do with it. And I don't think we thought for a moment, what else would be our next virtual choir? And then this all happened, the COVID crisis. And for me, I don't know if anyone else out there is like this. I think I spent the first couple of weeks just curled up in a fetal position, just in genuine shock. I had no idea what to do or what was happening, or especially in my little corner of the world, all of my gigs canceled. And then sheet music, which is, I publish and then sell, nobody's performing. So it was like someone just turned off the lights. It was, I was in shock. And out of that, what I started to see was these acts of service, from the very small to, people saying that they've started volunteering online so that they could call elderly people who were home alone and isolated, to talk to them, or to bring groceries to people who couldn't go out and get them themselves, to this initiative in the UK where they called for volunteers on a Sunday. And I think by the end of the day, they had over 500,000 people signing up and saying, yep, how can I help? And it was from that place of service that I thought, okay, what could we do for others? Really, how could we help in our small little way? And of course, being a musician, I think it's music. And so that was the real inspiration for Virtual Choir and Six. And I think that's what's been our North Star as we've been building this thing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into how you participate, and I signed on this morning and I downloaded the music, and I actually did the first stanza, I guess one would say, or the opening. I sent my team my little rehearsal video of it. The words are so meaningful. I'm just going to read a bit. Maybe you can follow. The words are, "May we sing," and it has a little 3-4 time, little emphasis on the push on the one. See, I watched it again. "May we sing together always. May our voice be soft. May our singing be music for others. And may it keep others aloft." And then we go into sing gently always. "May we stand always. Be strong. May we hear the singing. And may we always sing along, sing gently." So,
yeah, that's right. So all of the other ones had been pieces that I'd already written and didn't write specifically for the virtual choir. And in this case, I sat down and I thought, what is it that the one says in a time like this? And I wrote the lyrics for this one as well. And the first and strongest impulse I had were those two words, "sing gently." That's the name of the piece. It's a metaphor for a way to live and to interact with others now. I find there's a strangeness now. You walk down the street and everybody in a way is a potential threat. You know, people have their masks on and you're going to the store and you don't get close to people. And then within the world in general, there's a lot. I feel the tension between people. And my hope then by writing the lyrics and the music in a very gentle and delicate way is to just meditate on these ideas of compassion and empathy and community.
Mm-hmm. It's virtualchoir6.com and a really big Facebook following. And we're in what is called the acquisition stage, right? It's when everyone is logging in. You have to you go to the website, you put your name in, your contact, you set up a password, you enter the portal where you can download the music. And then you have a little tutorial from you that gives you a little, like we're all in a great rehearsal with you, and then get a little coaching. And then we view a video of you conducting us, and then we get to practice, which I'm going to enjoy practicing a lot more than actually recording it. So tell us about this process. What does this process do for people? We're not singing in a room full of people, but you're there with us, guiding, teaching, supporting us. And then, you know, we eventually put on the headphones or whatever we do and we upload it. But what does that do? I mean, I can tell you what it's doing for me already, but what is it doing for the people who participate? What's been the feedback or the experience?
So incredibly simple. And I did that on purpose. I wanted to be very, very direct. And also, I know from experience now with these other virtual choirs that there's not a lot of need to adorn it with fireworks. You know, it's something about having thousands of people singing together. It comes with its own force. And so the music needs to be as clear and simple as possible. We discovered this after the very first virtual choir, and it's just grown and grown. And it's this idea that the actual experience of it is quite alien, right? You're experiencing this now where you download the materials, you study the music, but it's only your part. So unless you've got the melody, it's okay, you're here, you're waiting, you're sensing what it will be eventually because you could hear that. But it really requires this huge leap of faith. Okay, just my part alone. Then, and I've recorded some of the virtual choirs myself just to see what it feels like. You sit in front of the camera, you're hearing the music in your headphones, but you're just singing your part and you listen to your video back. And I don't know a single person who finished their video and said, "That sounds fantastic."
my practice video was just awful.
Yeah, mine too. But the thing is, everybody's is not going to, because you have a sense of what the sound wants to be. And also you have, when you sing in a choir, that's the glory of singing in a choir, is it's all the voices blended together. And it's the aggregate of all those voices that make something truly special. In this weird way of doing it, you don't get that. You never get that until the very end. So you have to have this incredible faith. You make the video, you listen to it and say, okay, that's going to be good enough. And then you upload it. And then when the video finally comes together, that's when you hear the magic happen. But the amazing thing is, I think on a spiritual level, everybody seems to have a similar experience, which is that they feel like they're part of something larger than themselves. They actually connect to it. It's not this very artificial thing. They feel part of the community as if they had been there. Well, it's different. It's for me, it couldn't possibly ever replace ensemble music making. It's not, but it's something totally different. But what we hear over and over and over, and I feel it myself from my part of the process, is this gratification of connecting with other people on a deep spiritual level, deeper than you might imagine over a process like this.
Well, then I think, you know, there's loads of metaphors in all that you just said, but it's about music too, right? I mean, it's the power and the mystery and the magic of making music, be it perfectly when we're surrounded in an ensemble in a rehearsal, but that connection is as strong as we're seeing across the bandwidth, I guess, or wherever we are. So, and it's the intentionality of it. So is there anything additional about how people can be involved? I kind of talked about the website, the Facebook. I do want to say that there's a lot of music educators, choral conductors, ensemble conductors that are really, you would say, mystified by the last step, which is the video editing. Now, all teachers are in the virtual domain, right? And that there is a sort of an expectation. They said, oh, just to give us a virtual choir for the final. And I think we have to put that out there really clearly, that it is another level of artistry to actually assemble the final product as a film, right? It's an art of itself. The preparation of the beautiful voices and the understanding of music is by getting to this final aha, which breaks the internet. Just tell us about that final compilation step.
Well, the nuts and bolts of it. So the way we do it, there's three different teams. So there's the web team, which has built all of this web infrastructure and given all the tools and prepared people for the singing. That's a huge job, right? Something I wouldn't even know where to begin how to do. Then there's the team that does all the video editing and makes the beautiful films. And in this case, we're using the same people we use for Deep Field, which is a company called 59 Productions in London. And they're just phenomenal. And they have to take these thousands of videos and turn it into a beautiful film. The render time, even on one of these things, we know with Deep Field that they get it to where they hoped it would be, and then they click render, and then we'd have to come back 2.5 days later just to see if it worked. It takes the computer that long to render the frame so that we can see if it... So it's a massive undertaking. And then the third part is the sound itself. You have to take all of these thousands of videos, strip them from the audio or from the video, and then mix and master the audio, clean them up, take all the hiss out of it, any extraneous noises. All three of those things I couldn't do at all. It takes real team, like you said, team of experts, but also a team of artisans. These are people who are, they're artists. So the idea that administrations are asking their choirs or bands or orchestra, oh, just make a virtual choir. It's another discipline completely. It's another discipline. And I worry, actually, I'll probably post something about this soon, that I'm hearing from teachers saying that their administrators are now saying things like, well, this is great. We don't even have to have choirs or bands or orchestras. Again, we can just do it online like this. We can move online. Look at these virtual choirs. And I really want to make sure people understand this is not the same as ensemble music making. This is something completely different from the very beginning to the very end. I still find it worthy and beautiful and artistic, but it's definitely not the same thing.
Yeah. And I think all the teaching and all the learning that happens to get to the level where you could actually do a virtual choir. I mean, that's the essence of the participation. I think that was a very wonderful, important statement you made for the community, because, you know, we are so attracted by it, but we have to look under the hood. and realize the layers of talents that it takes to get this done. So Eric, you are an artist among us. You're a creator among us. You're looking through the lens of that creators are looking at the world. How do you perceive this time that people are moving through together? How are we managing our internal lives and our external expressions? And where does music sit here for all of us available?
Ooh, it's a big question.
I know, but you're up to those big questions. You have a medal from Congress. No, not from Congress. We were delighted to give Eric one of our support music awards for his distinguished effort in the field. So
it was a huge honor to me, Mary. It will sound cliche, but it's so true. I just can't imagine a more important time for music than right now. You said it earlier in the conversation that music has this magical ability to unite people. I don't know what it is. I felt it my whole life, I think, being a musician, but I think everybody feels it. It somehow crosses that great divide of loneliness and genuinely connects us to others. As I say, I have no idea how it works, but I'm so grateful that we all have this gift in our life. And so even for me, just having Spotify or Apple Music or my LPs to be able to listen to, it's such a balm. It's such medicine, I find. I think in these times, if other people are like me at all, there's a lot to deal with. I think most people are dealing with extraordinary financial pressures. I really can't imagine what most people are going through, although, yeah, we're all feeling it. And then there's the genuine concern about getting sick and actually getting sick, right? I think now there's something like over a million documented cases here in the United States alone. That number will increase for sure. The number of deaths, I think now we're near 70,000. That number will increase, certainly. And that's terrifying. That's really terrifying. I know I've had some conversations with my 14-year-old son about this, and he and his friends are also, they're just kind of shattered by all of this. It's changed the way everybody thinks about each other. I think that music, it has the ability to give meaning to some of these unknown questions, and at the very least, recenter us into our essential humanity. It's what I was hoping with the Virtual Choir 6, is that in this time of fear and anxiety and mistrust, that essential humanity, where I think we all are, which is altruistic and compassionate and empathetic human beings, I think music has the ability to illuminate that again. I think that's incredibly important right now.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm grateful for your thoughts. So we're going to take a little journey through our Make Music Day experience, which will overlap a little bit, but we'd like to come back to you for some final thoughts, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, please. I'm right here.
And you're sitting at a piano. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's just taking requests, you know.
But you might want to think about that as we take this little journey, and we'll come back to you, okay? Okay. Thanks, Eric. I just want to turn to Shalise Zalizi to help us a little bit to understand a little bit more about Make Music Day. So, Shalise, I'll turn it to you and have you introduce Aaron Friedman, who's with us.
Well, thank you, Mary. That sure was inspiring. It is my pleasure to introduce Aaron Friedman. Aaron is the executive director of the Make Music Alliance and also the co-founder of Make Music New York. The Make Music Alliance oversees Make Music Day events in the U.S. on June 21st and the Global Alliance of Participating Make Music Day Countries. It works to promote Make Music Day participation, provide tools to help manage events in each community, and fosters collaboration, mentorship, and mutual support among its members. Aaron, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, of course.
Aaron, for participants on the call today who may not be familiar with Make Music Day, can you tell us a little bit about its origins and how to get involved?
Make Music Day is actually something that started in 1982. In France, where it's called the Fête de la Musique. And essentially, it was just an invitation that the Minister of Culture made one year to say, look, you know, we've been doing so much over the centuries in this country for the opera companies and the ballet and all of the kind of high arts. This year, we just want to throw the doors open. We want to let everyone come outside for 30 minutes and play music together on the summer solstice, June 21st. And of course, musicians just couldn't help themselves. They went out, and instead of 30 minutes, it just went all night. And it's become this national musical holiday in France, where millions of people come out and perform. About 7% of the population actually plays music on June 21st in France each year. over the years, we've been just so inspired by their example and wanted to have this musical holiday take root in the United States and in other countries as well. Going back on some of Mary and Eric's conversation, I think one thing that's so frustrating about the time that we're all going through right now is how uncertain the future is and how we don't know how long this period will last and what it's going to look like. And for me personally, just having a date on the calendar where I have something to look forward to and it's something concrete, I mean, that helps a lot, just to have a sense that time is passing. You know, it's not just a Groundhog Day situation where every day you wake up and you're still stuck inside. It's like things are actually still possible.
Sure. Now, referencing, you know, Sing Gently and obviously Virtual Choir 6 and the amazing platform that is, Make Music Day is taking a different approach this year with some virtual projects. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, I mean, normally our invitation is to have people go out into their community, you know, meet each other, have jam sessions, go to instrument petting zoos. I mean, all sorts of great projects that are just really not feasible in this current pandemic. So we've come up with a lot of alternative projects because Make Music Day is just such a general invitation for people to make music wherever they are in whatever way they want to. I mean, these are very low-tech ideas. These are not too complicated. So one is just called Live From Home, and it's an invitation for people to record themselves playing in their living room, playing a song, and then tag three other people to challenge them to respond to it. So we're looking to do this in a kind of creative way where it's not just playing random songs necessarily, but, you know, I'm working on this Bartok piece, I'm going to play it and then challenge three people around the world who are also in orchestras that are playing the same piece, or, you know, people who sing Phantom of the Opera challenging other phantom singers in other countries. So really trying to bring people together globally through this. We're partnering with Make Music Australia and Make Music China and some other countries on this project. So it should be really interesting who's talking to whom and how we can kind of see these musical ideas ricochet around the world. Another project is 25 by 12. It's just free online music lessons by 300 music teachers on June 21st. So it's 12 hours, 25 instruments. Already we have Chelsea Starbuck-Smith, who plays with the New York Philharmonic, a violinist who's going to be one of the teachers. Elise Eklund, who's a YouTube ukulele personality with 1.7 million subscribers. I'm sure for Eric that's nothing, but, you know, to be some really interesting people. Then there's a project called the World's Smallest Marching Band, which is, you know, basically if you have a trombone or another instrument and you want to play the band music that otherwise you really can't experience live these days, you can go out on Make Music Day and wander around and play for people who are listening from indoors or at their workplaces. So it's not something where we're bringing a crowd together, we're just bringing music to people where they are. Another project called Window Serenades is a similar thing where we have nursing homes signing up. Their residents can put colored paper in the window and request a song. And then we have individual singer-songwriters, mariachis, different people who come and serenade people who really can't leave where they are. There's also a young composers contest, which we've actually been working with Meg Davies, who's also worked on this project, and thank her for really helping to put this together. So many young composers are just stuck at home right now. They can't collaborate with others personally, but, you know, for centuries, people have used music notation to overcome this problem of distance. So we're asking young composers between the age 13 and 21 to write a short 3-minute piece for a vocal quartet on the text of the William Carlos Williams poem, By the Road to the Contagious Hospital. We have a panel of judges, Ellen Reed, who won the Pulitzer Prize in Music last year, David T. Little, a lot of people who are going to be giving feedback to all of the teenage composers, and then also choosing 10 of them to have professional recordings done of those pieces to be released on Make Music Day. So there are a lot of other more high-tech projects as well. Most of them are now listed, including all of these, on our website, makemusicday.org. I think keeping it simple makes a lot of sense. And just the power of music without a lot of sophistication, you know, technically can still just make a huge difference in everyone's level of sanity and ability to connect with other people, both online and even in real life.
Well, just beautifully said, Aaron. And, you know, thinking about some of us that maybe aren't as proficient at our instrument as we should be, I know that there are some other projects in the works. You mentioned a couple different ones, but certainly, you know, Bash the Trash and Flower Pot Music, thinking about those. Can you share those with some participants on the call?
Yeah, of course. So Bash the Trash, you know, which we were planning on doing in a slightly different way before the pandemic. It's a set of instructions and videos that help you build all sorts of different instruments out of recyclable materials or basically trash, like old tin cans and bottles and cardboard boxes and different things. I'm sure everyone's made one of those like shakers as an elementary school kid with you put the beans in the thing. These are more sophisticated than that. Although the shaker is, you know, a worthy instrument. I don't want to tell anyone not to do that. But these are pretty cool. And we're asking people to make instruments and then play either Ode to Joy or Baby Shark on one of these instruments and then share those on June 21st. And we'll have a live stream on June 21st for people to show off their instruments and perform for each other. But we also have, D'Addario has this string recycling program, and anyone who wants used guitar strings to use for these recycled instruments, we will mail them to you, courtesy of D'Addario. So and then other things we hope people will just kind of have around the house. They don't even need to go out for them. Another one that's kind of an interesting found object project is called Flower Pot Music. We have about 50 percussionists around the United States who are leading performances on flower pots, like ceramic flower pots, where if you hit the pot with a felt mallet, it makes this kind of soft bell-like sound. It's very, very beautiful. So this is a project that you don't have to read music. It's basically responding to the sounds of other people playing their pots. If you hear the person next to you play theirs, then you play yours as soon as you can. Or if you hear them getting louder, then you get louder. If you hear them getting softer, then you get softer. And there's kind of wave-like effects that are created. So all of this is going to be done virtually throughout the entire day online. Hopefully in 2021, we can go to beautiful outdoor locations or Home Depots or flower centers that can loan us the pots. So we have different ideas for next year. But this year, we're just going to take advantage of being available at home on June 21st.
Well, and certainly, like you said, you know, having that date on the calendar to look forward to and continue to celebrate it as 32 years later, certainly a national holiday, not only here in the U.S., but in so many countries around the world. It says it right there. People can find more information where, Aaron?
MakeMusicDay.org.
And what is the official hashtag for the day?
It's just hashtag MakeMusicDay.
Right. So we encourage everyone to take a look at some of the virtual projects that Aaron mentions at makemusicday.org. And please don't be shy. If you have questions, if you have ideas, email us either through the website or through the Facebook page. But also consider looking at the local cities there. 85 cities across the United States participate in honoring this day somehow. And we encourage you to connect locally too.
Thanks so much, Elise. And of course, we've got a network building around the world. Aaron, can just tell us quickly off the top of your head the places you visit to plant the seeds of Make Music Day?
Yeah, well, just over the last few years, I mean, and really working through NAMM, you know, we've been able to get Brazil, Argentina, China, Australia, the UK, Nigeria, all sorts of places on board with Make Music Day. And I mean, it's, you know, speaking of the power of music to bring people together, there aren't that many things that you can really get everyone on the same page about in life. And it's something that everyone has a love of music and a pride in their local genres and communities that make music and interest in encouraging everyone to be part of that. So my job to spread this event, it's so easy. I mean, it just, it sells itself. And I'm kind of surprised that people hadn't done it before, that I had to, you know, come and play this role. But hey, I mean, it's been amazing. And yeah, as Shalee said, all sorts of communities around the country are organizing their own local events. Sometimes it's just someone saying, well, we can all at least go out onto our front porches and play for our neighbors. Our neighbors don't even have to come over. They can still hear us. Our heavy metal band is loud enough that we can actually, you know, play for quite a few people. So a lot of people have these sort of local versions of it. And of course, it depends on the situation on the ground, and we'll have to pay attention to what's happening in June. But I mean, I think it's really such a simple idea, and I hope everyone finds a way to be part of it.
It's such a simple, human, and wonderful idea, and the universe gave us the longest day of the year, and that's when we're going to make music.
That's right.
So to all of you, Shalee's included, I'd just love to do a quick round robin. I'm going to end with Eric Whitaker, because he is sitting at a piano, and maybe he's thought about this. But you know how we are in moving through a very unprecedented time for all of us. we ourselves are dealing with families at home. Our lives have moved home. Erin has two little children at home, so Shalise does also. I have an adult daughter with me. Eric, you have a child with you. You know, just these realities of we're all going through it together. But my last question, may I start with you, Erin, and go to you, Shalise, and end with Eric. How will we support online music making and learning? And what can we all do for each other to keep our connection through music alive?
Yeah, well, what's been successful for us over the years in spreading Make Music Day has actually been personal connections and existing real life networks of people. It has not been spraying the social media universe with a message that we hope will resonate with someone. It's been very targeted communication with people to say, you know, this is something I really believe you're going to appreciate, and here's something you might think about doing. And I sort of think for supporting music making, that's the same thing. I mean, we can all put out random messages, but I think really being specific and sharing something musical with specific other people, I think it just makes people feel much more heard and acknowledged and special. And so if it means having a special musical greeting for the superintendent of your school system to make sure they know how important music still is to you, I think that's going to matter, maybe more than just, you know, posting something on your Facebook page and just hoping that it cuts through the noise.
So to reach out personally with what we care about.
Yeah.
Shalise, how about you?
Gosh, you know, I think about, you know, my family and my networks, of course. And I think that the most important thing anyone can do is be an example, be a music maker, let that creativity bubble to the top and spread that with your networks, with your friends, and encourage others. You know, music is such an integral part of who we are as human beings. And it's so needed right now that you don't know how your music or how your practice or who you will influence as a result of that positively. So I'd say be an example, own it, and cultivate that within you for the good, greater good.
And make music and share music no matter what level you are, right?
Absolutely.
It's a joyful thing. Eric Whitaker, your final thoughts for us about this?
Yeah, and it's also just, it's beautiful. But Erin and Shalise said it's so nice. That everything they said, it just resonates so deeply with me. While they were speaking, I was looking up one of my favorite quotes because it made me think about it, which is that, especially from where I'm at with virtual choir, it's very easy for me to get in trying to get people to make music. It's like, there's a thing and we gotta build this and we gotta make this. And I think that what we need to do is speak to that commonality in us, which is the passion for music, the way it makes us feel. And the quote, it's from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, the man who wrote Little Prince, you know, this book. So this was originally in French, but the English translation is, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. I've always loved that. And I think that's the appeal to people now, especially people in our position, when we're trying to remind people about music and let's do this thing. It's really like, let's go to that commonality. Remember that, the way you felt? Remember, especially music making together, remember how that felt? Come on, let's find this new thing together until, well, who knows? And until there's either a new normal or we go back to normal.
It's going to be so important for our kids as we help them and guide them back to school, whatever school is going to look like, right?
Yeah, truly. And then at the end of the day, with the thing that all four of us believe, and I'm sure everybody on this chat believes, which is just that music is an essential part of life. It's not a hobby. It's not a thing that's an add-on. I'm always amazed that schools have a zero period, as if it's this elective that, well, if you can fit everything else in, then you can do this. Music is essential, and it's never more essential than in times like this.
Well, you have all lifted me up today. I thank you in the middle of my policy tornado and the realities of trying to support our NAM members and our wonderful partners we have around the world to address. But I can't wait to be practicing I think I can still be a soprano. I'm going to try.
You can do it, Mary. I believe in you.
I'm going to try. So with all of that, Eric, we can't entice you to play something from the piano and pipe us out.
Oh, really? You know what? I'll play you the first four measures of Sing Gently. It's very, very simple, but I'll play that.
Mm-hmm. And there we have it. Thank you, Eric Whitaker. Thank you, Aaron Friedman, for all you do for Make Music Day. Shalise, for your great leadership at NAMM. And to all of you for joining us for this just remarkable Sing Gently kickoff, Virtual Choir 6 kickoff. And thank you for all you're doing everywhere to keep music education strong and music making for everyone alive. Take care.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.